is Christian Questions.
See, Northcote Parkinson once said, "The void created by the failure to communicate is soon filled with poison, drivel, and misrepresentation." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
And you're back.
I'm back.
And folks, we're glad that you've chosen to spend some time with us on this fine Sunday morning. And Jonathan, what is our subject this morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, communicate much. And our theme text is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with which such sacrifices God is well pleased.
So, after talking, and you, of course you weren't here last week, but Kathy sat in your place. And she,
I thank her for that.
She did an admirable job.
Yes, she did.
After talking about complaining last week, it makes sense now to look at the flip side. How to communicate for good and positive reasons, that is. I mean, complaining is communicating.
That's true.
let's be clear on that. But the positive side, communicating for positive and good reasons. What makes a great communicator? Is it charisma? Is it your words? Is it your message? What about body language? Where does passion fit in? What made Jesus such a master at drawing people? Does the Bible define communication the same way that we do today? So, Jonathan, a lot of questions.
A lot, yeah.
About something that is central to everybody's life. And it is really central to everybody's life.
It is.
Communication.
It's important.
It's one of those things that you maybe have a frustrating time with it, but you can't live without it.
That's true.
So, unless you're on an island all by your lonesome self, and then you wish you could live with communication.
There you go.
So, let's get started. What do we envision when we talk about communication? So, when you say, okay, I've got to learn how to communicate better, in your mind, where does your mind go to say, okay, I should do this or I should be that to be able to communicate better? That's kind of a sort of a backdrop thought question here. Let's get started, though. What does communication mean? What does the word actually mean?
Well, Rick, in the dictionary, it means to share.
Okay, and that's the primary definition.
Yep.
And when you're sharing, and that already adds a dimension to communication that I don't know that we often think about.
Good point.
Because when we're saying communicating, a lot of times I think we look at it as, well, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
And to share, there's more of a...
It goes both ways.
Yeah. A couple of the other definitions.
To convey knowledge or information about,
mm-hmm.
to reveal by clear signs, or to cause to pass from one to another.
All right. I like that, to reveal by clear signs. So if you're driving down the highway and it says, you know, exit 57.
That's a clear sign.
That's right. Unless, of course, you're not watching. But that's a clear sign. So it is the imparting of information and knowledge. It's so, and much, much more than that, I think. And our culture has tweaked and developed the definition of communication to be a deep and penetrating life experience. We see communication as an art to be accomplished on both the giving and receiving side of any given issue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So as we do that, we are putting ourselves in a position to be able to impart something and to receive. That's all part of the communication process.
Gotcha.
So how does that all work? That's really where we want to go this morning. And folks, if you have any thoughts on communication, on the art of not only getting your point across, but the art of what it means to share. And every time I say that word, I get this, I don't know, this sort of this cynical feeling inside that, oh, let's share, you know. And it's much, much bigger and much, much more than that. So if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free. 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And stay connected to Rick and I at ChristianQuestions.net, no matter the day or time.
Let's get started with this, with a soundbite from a television program that most of us, I think, are probably familiar with.
Oh, we are.
Everybody loves Raymond. Mm-hmm. Now, Raymond is an unusual guy because we were talking before the program.
Yes.
He sort of defines for us the fault that we all have inside of us.
Us men.
Yeah. And so in this first soundbite, we're going to be coming back to this little episode here. He and Deborah, his wife, are sitting in a classroom on communicating with their children. Okay. And of course, Deborah, you know, Ray never wants to draw attention to anything. You know, he's always like, if you just be quiet. And Deborah's always asking questions and, you know, and it's always embarrassing for him.
Yes.
And doesn't that just sort of fit the...
Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah. You see, I don't know, folks, but what we're communicating to you is the between the words what really happens in life. But anyway, let's listen to this little clip from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yes, Deborah.
Yeah. We have a 6-year-old daughter, and she's a great kid, but she's been having trouble listening, and she's been very stubborn lately.
But that's every kid.
It's not.
It's just a phase, right?
Well, this is a perfect opportunity for you to try some active listening.
Thank you. We'll try that.
Wait a second. Wait. So active listening, I'm not familiar with that.
Well, it's encouraging your child to express herself verbally without influencing her with your own preconceived notions or opinions.
Got it. Here we go.
He's like, okay,
good
done. Here we go. Let's go. Let's move on.
We're done.
That's right. He doesn't want to get involved. And, of course, his wife is there saying, no, we got to learn this. This is important. This is our daughter. This is something we've got to pay attention to. And he just doesn't want to take the time enough. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
All right. This is going to be more fun than I thought. So... That gives you a sense of where we sit in our lives right now. Now, just going back to scriptures for a few minutes here, a good example of biblical communication is to come here. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 21 to 25. And this, we believe the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. And he's teaching us here. Now, the text begins, it's communication. And you know, the scriptures are communication.
Absolutely.
Okay. So this particular text begins its communication by stating the context of a Christian life. In Hebrews 10, 21 and 22.
And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
So that puts everything in perspective. Having a high priest over the house of God, that would be Jesus. Let's draw near. We've got it's sort of like an open door invitation because Jesus is there. So we can draw near in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. In other words, we've got an inside track to overcoming the darkness of sin in our lives.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we've been washed, we've been sanctified, and so you're in a great place.
Yes.
So this scripture communicates the general context of where a Christian life is supposed to be. So with that, the verse continues in verse 23, it continues with the responsibility that we have first to ourselves.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering.
So, holding fast the profession of our faith. So you've got this context set up. So the apostle, and you know, the apostle Paul was a great, great communicator.
He was.
He had not only the ability to write things in such a way that they could be grasped and acted upon, but when he spoke, he drew people to him because of the message and the way he conducted himself. And the way he presented the message.
And God's Spirit working through him to give him that wisdom.
Right, because you can have the greatest message in the world.
Right.
But if it's not presented, especially from a Christian standpoint, through the Spirit of God, it gets lost. It gets missed. It's just a bunch of words. It's just another way of looking at something rather than the gospel. So that's an important aspect of this as we'll develop. So now you've got the context of a Christian life laid out. You've got the responsibility that we have to ourselves. And then further on in the verse concludes with our communication responsibility to our brothers and sisters. So it's sort of...
In Christ.
In Christ.
Okay.
So it puts things... It sets you up where you need to be so that you can do what you need to do in regard to others around you. So let's go to the next few verses.
And this isn't easy, Rick. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works.
Okay, so...
So we have to think of others more than ourselves. That right there you've got to shift.
And it says to provoke.
Yeah, provoke. What? Provoke?
When you
our
think,
brothers and sisters?
Yeah, yeah. When you think of that, now, you had how many sisters?
I had three.
Three sisters growing up. Now, where were you in the family, oldest, youngest?
Number three.
You were third out of four.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, did you ever provoke your sisters?
Oh, yes. Especially my youngest one.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry to say. she reminds me of that all the time.
I'm sure. And that provoking, was it for love and good works?
No.
So when we think of provoking, we don't normally think of it in a positive way.
No, but here it says, unto love and to good works.
So that provoking really means to stimulate, get them going in a positive way. That's communicating. That's communicating. That provocation doesn't have to be necessarily with words, but whatever it is that we can do, the apostle sets us up by understanding our position and saying, you've got to inspire, you've got to stimulate,
encourage
the brotherhood mm-hmm. toward goodness, toward good things. That's what communication is, and that's what it's there for. Again, last week we talked about complaining and murmuring, and that's communication, but that doesn't bring you to that good stuff that we're talking about here. So, as we go through this, I've got to go to another soundbite here, Jonathan. This one is funny in some ways, but it's a little scary in some other ways.
It is.
This is an airplane pilot, and they're sitting on the tarmac. They're waiting to take off. They're in a foreign country. I think they're a Spanish-speaking country, and there's a problem. And so the pilot is doing his very best to communicate to the passengers what's going on, but it's not coming out so well. But you could hear, he's really trying, and then as he goes on, you sort of hear that he's getting the idea that, you know what, this isn't working out so well. But he's trying, and that's the thing. So this is a real good soundbite, a lesson in communication.
Speaking. Well, we're still sitting here. We still have the problem that the tower is speaking mainly Spanish, and I'm speaking mainly English. My Spanish is not good enough to find out what the problem is, and the English of the tower isn't good enough to tell me where the problem exactly is. So I can't really tell you what the problem is. So I asked Frankfurt, the Condor staff in Frankfurt, to send a new flight plan, a second flight plan, which is also in the system now, but that did not help. So I have no idea what the problem is, but I can assure you that we are working on the problem, and I've been trying to solve whatever the problem here is, which is hard, as long as we don't know where the problem lies.
Oh my.
So it sounds like they're in Spain. They're going to fly to Germany, but he can't communicate because his Spanish
language
is not
barrier.
Good. Right. And so there's all these things, and he's trying really hard to help the passengers feel confident, but it's not really working.
No.
So Jonathan, there's several object lessons we can draw from this. Let's go through them quickly before we close this segment.
You need to understand the language being spoken.
Okay, now, there was literally a language barrier there.
There was. But this also applies to men and women as well, doesn't it?
That's right. Next point.
The relying on of an inclusive message. Inconclusive message is always an inconclusive message.
So if you're relaying a message that just is not solid, it's just you can't change the format of that message. You can't make it more solid because it just doesn't have the substance, and that's what that poor pilot was trying to do.
And the desire to inform is not enough to accomplish the mission of informing.
You can want to inform, you can do your due diligence, but just because you want to doesn't mean you're going to be able to get the job done.
For a leader to come across as uninformed but sincere can be humorous, but does not build confidence.
It was funny. You heard the guy who was recording it laughing on the airplane, and we're sitting here laughing, but you think about it, wait a minute, there's a problem with an airplane, but he can't tell you what the problem is because he doesn't really know what the problem is.
And he doesn't know if he'll ever find
out. Right, and so you're thinking, well, it might not be as good as we'd like it to be. You know, in Matthew 5:37, Jesus says that your yes be yes and your no be no. So our communication needs to be as firm and as positive and as clear as it possibly can be. The question is, how do we do that?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, communicate much? How does the Bible describe communication? Not in the way that you'd think. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, communicate much? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And Jonathan, as we go through this subject of communicating, it is a big, big subject, and it's incredibly fascinating just to try to understand it and put it in place and get better at it. And that's one of the things that, for me, I've actually looked into and studied for many, many years. It's just the art of communication, because, especially doing what we're doing right now.
Yes.
All listeners have is what they hear. We don't have a webcast. You can't see us. And we are so glad for that. But all you've got is the words, and those words somehow have to communicate something bigger than just the words.
And I love going to the source, the Bible, to find out how God wants us to communicate versus what we think about communication today.
And we're going to get into that in a minute. Let's first, though, go back to Everybody Loves Raymond. He and his wife, Deborah, are sitting in this class on communication with children, and Deborah, of course, embarrasses him by asking a question about their daughter. They're having trouble. And so now Ray is in the midst of role-playing with the teacher. She says, oh, this is a great opportunity. And he's going, and so now she's role-playing. The teacher is playing the part of Ray's daughter, and Ray is being himself in dealing with a stubborn six-year-old. So let's listen to how this unfolds.
Ray, if I say to you, I hate when you make me do things, perhaps you could acknowledge my feelings by saying something like, you feel you don't have any control over our plans. You understand?
That doesn't sound like something I would say.
Just takes a little practice. Come on, let's keep going.
Yeah, let's.
All my friends are going to the park, but I have to go to some boring party?
You think that the party's going to be boring?
That's it, Ray. See, you're reflecting her feelings back. Right. Yes! It's just a bunch of grown-ups sitting around an old house. I want to be with my friends.
But Grandma has that big bowl of coffee nips.
And again, what he's doing is he's grasping at the straws of trying to figure out something that he has no idea about. Doesn't that sound like a lot of us?
It does.
And so that's the dilemma that we face with communication, is how do you get better at it and how do you zero in on it so you can actually really be effective? Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And we want you to communicate to us. We want you to go to our website, ChristianQuestions.net, and we want to hear what you have to say about today's topic. Post your comments on our Facebook page and our blog. Again, that's at ChristianQuestions.net.
And you also want to check out CQ Rewind at ChristianQuestions.net. It's a great way to get the body of the program. And last week's the rewind from last week, Jonathan, mm-hmm. was just so well done. It was the program on complaining.
Right.
And you got a feel for the subject matter just by looking at it. I mean, the graphics that Julie and her team put in there were just great. It gave you a sense of the subject matter and how to deal with
Sign
it.
Sign up for the full edition at ChristianQuestions.net.
It's a free service. It's an email you get once a week with a link that brings you right to that, and you won't be sorry. It's a great, great tool. The Bible does not seem to talk about communicating the way that we often refer to it from the standpoint of understanding feelings. That last soundbite was, you know, zeroing in on your daughter's feelings. And that's a good thing. It does, the Bible, however, does give a number of examples of communicating through co-laboring and through common cause. The only words translated communicate in the Bible are along the lines of co-laboring and common cause.
Okay.
So let's go through them. We're not going to read the Greek words because we won't communicate anything by doing that except our inability to read Greek. And just trust us, all right? But the first word literally means to share with others. And let's look at a scripture that has that word.
Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things.
So to share with others, that is translated communicate in that particular verse. Let him that is taught communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. The next word means partnership.
Partnership, that's right.
Okay.
For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Now, Rick, I didn't hear the word communicate in this scripture.
Yeah, that's right, because it's the word for contribution.
Well, what's that have to do with communication?
Well, and that's exactly the point. The communication in the scriptures is much more along the lines of co-laboring, of contributing to a common cause. So when it says to contribute, what you're doing is you're helping those others who may be struggling because you're involved in that common cause.
So it's not just saying, but it's doing. It's
exactly, and that's why the scriptures are such a great textbook for trying to understand communication, because it deepens the meaning in such a big way. The next word means to be communicative or liberal, not politically we're talking. And when you hear that word, we always go to the political dialogue. This is not a political dialogue. Liberal in the sense of being generous. And that's in 1 Timothy 6:18.
That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate.
And when it says willing to communicate, literally means willing to donate to others who are in need. So willing to communicate means willing to be charitable.
How about that?
And so part of communication from a scriptural standpoint then is that depth of charity that we're willing to move forward with in our lives in terms of giving to others to support them in that common cause that we have. I think that's a great, great way to look at communication.
So much deeper.
It is. It entails so much more. Let's do this. Before we go to the next soundbite, let's go to the phones first, then we'll go to the next soundbite.
All right, we have Peter from Connecticut. Good morning, Peter, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. We missed you last week.
Oh,
thank you.
But we had such a delightful fill-in, we're kind of hoping you'd be gone again.
No.
Thanks for communicating that, Peter.
That was a good one. I think you have to be a good listener first.
Okay.
And then be willing to, like you say, communicate by not having any kind of airs about you. I think you have to be open and be, you know, understanding that perhaps the solution can be worked out amongst people if you don't know it and you can't verify it. So, if I wanted to know something specific and I went to somebody who did have that knowledge, then I would be listening and all. But so I think you have to be a good listener and be willing to listen and also understand somebody's concerns. You know, you have to be like Jesus was. He can back up what he says.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's it. And in a way that people will understand, and no matter what person it is. You know, some of the things he did, people question, why would you be eating with these guys? You know, they're tax collectors.
Right.
This and that. And he explains it. And there it's clear.
All right, Peter, great place to start.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Have a good day. Welcome back.
See, he's glad that you're back. So a couple things. Good listener first, and have no errors about you. I like the way he said
too.
That, because that puts things in a position where when you're not coming across with this level of arrogance, you're much easier to not only be heard, but to hear.
I like that.
So it sort of levels the playing field. Peter, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. And folks, again, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
If you'd like to ask a question, like to email us, you can do so at Rick, R-I-C-K, at christianquestions.net as well. Jonathan, let's go back to another soundbite. This is entirely different. We'll take a vacation from Raymond for a few minutes here. Kathy McAfee is a communication expert, and she was on a program talking about the five dials on your communication dashboard in a segment talking about body language and vocal power tips. So this is Kathy McAfee talking about the first two of the five dials on your communication dashboard.
For example, I like to think there are five dials on your vocal dashboard. You have the tone. Which is your pitch. high pitch or low pitch, and we all have a range. Okay, sometimes if we're a singer, we have a really big range, but all of us have a range.
Right.
Okay, you have your tempo. Are you a fast talker or a slow talker? Guess what? You can speed it up and you can slow it down.
In the Northeast, we tend to speak a little quicker.
Faster.
I was doing a seminar in Alabama one time, and they asked me to slow down, and I said, how much slower can I? And I realized I do speak very quickly.
Yeah. Particularly in presentations, you want to slow it down 20%, 25%, that versus your normal conversational speed.
So the first two dials, and Jonathan, you know, we're looking at each other and kind of laughing.
We are.
The first is tone, you know, high pitch, that's me.
Low pitch.
That's Jonathan. Tempo, fast or slow, well, you know which one I am, right?
For sure.
Here, sitting here in the studio, we have a completely different approach to those two things.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, it seems to work. The point is that these things you do have some control over.
That's right.
So you can help them in terms of your vocal presentation. Those things can help you get your point across. If you realize that your tone does mean something and the speed at which you speak also means something. Let's go, Jonathan, to a few scriptures here. You know, one of the things that I did that I thought was just fascinating personally to prepare for the program
mm-hmm.
is I looked up a bunch of scriptures that had the phrase one another in them.
Okay.
All right. So we have throughout the rest of the program several of these scriptures coming up under categories because they essentially categorize themselves. Because the way I'm looking at it is, okay, one another, if there's something you're supposed to do toward one another, that's communication.
That's right, Rick. That's going back to the definition of the Bible, co-laboring, having a common cause.
So let's take a look at some of these bullet points. The first point is wash one another's feet, which means to serve one another with humility.
If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet.
See, one another's feet. So that's that humble service toward one another, and that's exemplified further in Galatians 5:13-15.
For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another.
Now, we're focusing on the serving one another, but through love serve one another. But in that verse, it also says you can also bite and devour one another.
That's right.
And you can consume one another. So there's a good and a bad side to our treatment of one another, but that's all about communicating.
Yes, it is.
That is, when you are treating one another this way or that way, it's all about how you are communicating, not only through words, but your purpose of life and their purpose of life. How you're finding a meeting ground for those. And Jonathan, with all of us, all human beings, we do that, whether we like it or not, whether we think about it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Our communication with everybody around us, and we do communicate with everybody around us.
Good point.
I mean, even
with
if you're
words or not, right?
Right, right. So even if you're walking through a store and your head's down and you're ignoring people, you're communicating. You are. and so we need to understand the depth of how communication works. Again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And if you have any questions on our subject, ask your questions at christianquestions.net or go to our Facebook or email us at rick@christianquestions.net.
Another one another scripture, Jonathan, is, and this is probably one of the most well-quoted scriptures in the Bible, John chapter 15, verse 12.
This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends.
So Jesus is telling us, love one another as I have loved you. And see, that's the key. That's why Jesus was such a great communicator, because he did it first, and then he explained, here's how you should do it. Look at what I did.
Nice.
Not what I'm telling you about, but look what I did. Romans 13:8.
Owing nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law.
And 1 Peter 1:22.
Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love for the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart.
So this idea of loving one another, and that love is that selfless kind of love, that benevolent love that's willing to give and not worried about getting back. That's what Jesus is telling us is the basis of our real, true, heartfelt communication. And if we have that sense, not only toward the brotherhood, but toward the world.
Good point.
Then our ability to communicate with the world, it magnifies. So communication is, again, is much more than just words, and we can make a dramatic effect on those around us.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, communicate much? Three keys to a successful communication. What are they? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, communicate much? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And we're talking about communication, how important it is, and how deep it goes. It's every part of our lives as we are dealing with other people around us.
Yes.
So very, very important. I want to start this. You said at the end of the last segment the three keys to good communication.
Mm-hmm.
And our first key is going to be communicate in context.
Oh, your favorite word.
Context is my favorite word, because to me, if you don't understand the context, how can you understand what's being said, especially with the Bible? How can you understand what's being written if you're not aware of the context?
Exactly.
So, this soundbite, we'll do the soundbite, Jonathan, then we'll go to a phone. It needs a little bit of explanation. This was actually...
This one needs a lot of explanation.
Yeah. This was a commercial. It was an AmeriQuest commercial from television. I got it off of YouTube. It takes place in a store, and at the very beginning you hear a cell phone ring.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy is shopping in the store, talking on a cell phone to his friend who is in the process of getting quotes on a deck
mm-hmm.
for his house.
Right.
So as he's talking, he picks up his merchandise and he goes to the counter.
And he still has the conversation on the phone
right.
while he's at the counter.
So when he's talking at the counter, the clerk's back is turned to him. So the clerk doesn't see that he's on the phone. But you hear what he says, and then there's going to be a reaction. But just remember, he's talking on the phone to his friend about something completely unrelated. Okay, let's do this.
Hello. Well, how much are they asking?
Well, that's a lot of money for a deck.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but you're getting robbed. Did you hear me? You're getting robbed.
Ow! Stop! 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 Stop!
So sounds like he got tasered.
Yeah, so the guy pulls out a taser and he's getting robbed. I'll show you, because his back was turned. And so the context of the comment was there wasn't any. All he heard was, you're getting robbed. He's in the store and he reacts. He's the guy who's just talking about the price of a quote for a deck
from
the
guy, his friend.
From his friend. So it's a great example of making sure that we communicate in context. Let's go to the phones.
All right. We have Beth from Tennessee. Good morning, Beth, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. I just kind of wanted to add a little personal testimony. You know, the work relationship is very important, and you spend the majority of your day at work. And I have a coworker that I really struggle with as far as dealing with. And so I heard someone say that you have to come in an attitude of forgiveness and not have resentment when you're listening to this person tell you something, or you have to remember that Christ paid the cost of forgiveness. And so every day we have to pay the cost to forgive, to forget, to let things go, to, you know, just so that we can be Christ-like in our actions and the things that we communicate, and so that we have a clean heart. And so I struggle with that every day. I don't know if there's other people out there who feel the same way, but I just kind of want to make that point.
That's a great, great point. Very important, the attitude of forgiveness and not resentment. Beth, thanks
right.
so much. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And Jonathan, that really does put things in context, because what she said was, okay, look, Christ gave his life for sin. So if we have someone who maybe they do that we work with, maybe they do have a bad attitude, maybe they do carry a lot of baggage with them, doesn't mean that we should approach them with that attitude of resentment, because Christ already paid for their sin as well as our own. Let's live in the context of Christ having paid for that and approach it with an attitude that is forgiving and not full of resentment.
Absolutely.
So, you know, Beth, while you struggle with it, it is a profound realization that you bring out during your struggle.
Keep up the struggle.
Yeah, keep up the great work on that. Thanks for the call, Beth. We appreciate it. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And the conversation continues next hour online and all through the week at Christian Questions. We're live Sunday mornings on demand with tons of topics to talk about, featured on our audio archive, CQ Rewind, Facebook, and our blog. Again, that's at ChristianQuestions.net.
So, Jonathan, based on all of these things, let's go back to another one of those one another scriptures. And under the heading of understand one another, and this is kind of like what Beth was actually saying.
Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are we to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand.
So in the early church, and we don't have a lot of time to get into it, but there were a lot of difficulties regarding eating meat that had been previously offered to idols.
Right.
And some, especially the Gentile Christians, didn't have any trouble with it, but the Jewish Christians had.
Mm-hmm.
They had a big, big problem. And so there was this clash, and the apostle is saying, look, each man's conscience is toward God. Allow their conscience to exist and don't step on their conscience. They're doing it because that's what they believe they should be doing. Have respect for that.
Good point.
And let's continue this. And this is from Romans chapter 14, 1 through 6.
One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does it for the Lord. For he gives thanks to God, and he who eats not, for the Lord he does not eat, and gives thanks to God.
Again, the point is both sides of the issue are focused on serving God. Another bullet point, if you will, on the love one another scriptures is do not judge one another. And that, again, fits exactly in with understand one another, and that's further down in Romans 14, verse 13.
Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way.
So it gives you a really strong sense of how to keep things focused by understanding first and not judging second. Jonathan, our second point in regarding communication, better communication. The first was communicate in context. The second is communicate with thoughtfulness.
Mm.
And let's go back to Raymond one more time. He's in the role play with the teacher in the communication class about communicating with your kids.
And the teacher's playing the part of his daughter.
His six-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. Okay, so just listen to how Ray is trying, but just, you know, he's being Ray.
I don't care. And you can't make me.
What are you doing?
I'm not going.
Please, get up. You get up.
Why do I have to go?
Well, I don't know.
But why? Well,
because I said so.
Huh? That was big when I was a kid.
Look, Mommy said you gotta go.
Leave Mommy out of it, Ray.
Thank you.
Look, you better get up or...
Or what?
Or no more TV.
No, Ray.
Okay, or you're going to boarding school.
Do you always threaten?
No. No, sometimes she yells.
Oh, Ray!
So you can hear the haplessness of this poor guy trying to figure out how to communicate in a meaningful way.
Well, where's the thoughtfulness behind
that?
Well,
and that's the point. There's because I said so. And the thoughtfulness is really part of making sure that we are thinking about, just kind of what Beth said, we're thinking about where the other person is in their life and trying to identify with that. Another one of those one another scriptures under the heading now of admonish one another is Romans, the next chapter, Romans 15, verse 14.
And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able also to admonish one another.
So we do have a responsibility to be really clear and focused on making sure that we are doing the right kinds of things in the right kind of way, and contributing to one another's lives, admonishing one another. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. I don't think we have time to read it right now, but it helps us to understand, again, that the importance of contributing to each other by giving that strong direction to one another. And that requires a little bit of courage.
It sure does.
Now, before we go to the phones, our third point, because I want to make sure we state this because we're getting low on time, is communicate with purpose. So we had communicate in context, communicate with thoughtfulness, and communicate with purpose. So that has to be a sense of where we're going here. Jonathan, let's go to the phones. We'll have to make this a little quick.
All right. We have David from Tennessee. Good morning, David, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Thank you. I've got a good question I'd like to ask you.
Go ahead.
Okay. I've got a situation here where that I deal with a lot of people and family members. And here's my question. How are we to be good communicators with homosexuals when all they really want us to do is leave them alone, and we have the hate crime laws and all the different stuff that's coming down the road, and they feel really secure in just telling us to shut up or elsewise that we've done something bad? How do you communicate with these people? Because the majority that I have ever talked to says, I like what I do, I want to do this, and I don't think you've got the right to speak to me on this issue because you're not one, you don't understand it, you know, and so forth.
All right, that is a huge question. And first of all, my gut reaction to that question is, okay, what would Jesus have done? Jesus, remember, he did communicate with sinners, and he was very, very open to understanding them and loving them, not loving the sin. And you have to understand that we have to separate the sin from the sinner. Now, I can't tell you what to do or what to say in that kind of circumstance, but if you live a life of Christ-likeness that is not having to... Look, they know what you think, so you don't have to make this great proclamation of judgment, but you can live above the fray. I think there's something very powerful in that in terms of communicating what being a follower of Christ is really all about. And now, I know that's somewhat of a general answer. We are down to like a minute in time here, so I'm going to have to... David, just like a 10-second response.
Okay. Well, I just realized that... there's no communication with a sinner who don't want to change.
Well, there's communication. They don't have to listen, though. Okay? That's the thing. Others don't have to listen. Dave, we're up against the clock. Thanks so much for calling. We appreciate
it.
That was an important question, Jonathan, to sort of put things in a perspective. We can communicate with those who don't want to listen. It's their choice as to whether they listen. It's not our responsibility to make somebody listen.
Good point.
It is our responsibility, though, to have listening ears, even if we think we are 100% right.
That shows our thoughtfulness.
Exactly. Communicate with thoughtfulness and communicate with purpose. The purpose is it's not to pound out a different explanation to somebody, but it is to show them a better way. See, there's a big difference between those things. And Jonathan, true communication has three parts. Imparting or giving of that which is to be communicated, that's the first, okay? You're sending a message out.
The hearing or receiving of that which is communicated.
Okay, and in this case, you know, maybe the person hearing is not necessarily receiving.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, and what's the third part?
The grasping or understanding of that which is communicated, as shown by the ability to feed it back to the communicator.
So, and we're going to touch on this again. We're going to start the second hour with this portion. So, folks, if you can't be with us, if we're not on the air in your area for the next hour, go to ChristianQuestions.net, click the Listen Live button, and stay with the conversation. If you can't do that and you'd like to contribute, go to ChristianQuestions.net, leave your comments there, put your comments out on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you there. But there's so much to this, Jonathan, that is so important. And David brings up a good point. There are circumstances in life where we come across where our communication looks like it's going to fall on deaf ears.
And sometimes it does.
So what do you do? Well, the point is you still continue to communicate. Think about Stephen. Remember Stephen when he was getting stoned?
That's right.
Stoned to death. And what did he do? He continued to communicate the goodness of God's work and God's will and the vision that he had seen, and he continued to show them how high the high calling was, the calling to follow Christ, and how low their own actions were. They stoned him anyway. His communication was successful because he did it according to God's will. Folks, we hope you've enjoyed being with us for this hour. Again, join us for the second hour if you are possibly able to. ChristianQuestions.net. Or you can, if we're on in your area, you can stay with us live. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We will be back after the news and all of that. Check us out on Facebook. But till then, communicate much? We'll be back soon. Think about it.
Is Christian Questions.
Mark Twain once said, "The difference between the right word and the almost right word is the difference between lightning and the lightning bug." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. Jonathan, what is that topic this morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, communicate much? And our theme text is found in Hebrews 13, verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased.
And Jonathan, in the first hour, we were looking at, first of all, the definition of communication from the standpoint of just people in general, you know, to share.
Yes.
And sort of that feelings thing. Feelings. But in the Bible, the definition of communication is much bigger than that.
It is.
It talks about co-laboring together, and when it talks about communicating, the word actually means to contribute, you know, sometimes monetarily to others, to help them if they're in need.
And having a common cause.
Right. Common cause, common goal, and making sure that you you know, it, because of your circumstance, that I'm with you.
And I love the one another scriptures that we've started with and we're going to continue with.
Right. What we did is we looked up a bunch of scriptures that had the phrase one another in them. And because when you're dealing with one another, you obviously are communicating.
Yes.
So how does the Bible tell us to deal with one another? And it's wonderful. You see all of these things coming out. And this is all about real, true, heartfelt communication. So that's a little bit about the first hour, Jonathan. We had a call at the end of the first hour that asked a very, very pointed question that we're going to kind of refer back to sort of in principle as we go through. And our caller Dave from Tennessee was asking about, well, okay, how do you deal with, and he used the example of homosexuals who just don't want to listen. Okay, now, I want to take it out of the context of that small context and put it into a much larger context.
Okay.
What do you do when you're trying to communicate and it just continues to fall on deaf ears? Sometimes not only deaf ears, but maybe aggravated and angry ears. Well, what do you do? Do you stop? Do you raise your voice too? I mean, how do you handle that? We're going to come through and work on that throughout this hour. So we really appreciate Dave's bringing that up for us in the first hour. But Jonathan, at the end of the first hour, there were three points of true communication, three parts that we just touched on. I just want to repeat.
But these are important.
They really are, because they help us understand how communication actually works. What are they?
The first is the imparting or giving of that which is to be communicated.
All right. So, and this is really focusing on verbal communication, okay? I'm sending you a message. I'm telling you something.
That's right. And the second is the hearing or receiving of that which was communicated.
Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? And what's the third?
And the third is the grasping or understanding of that which is communicated as shown by the ability to feed it back to the communicator.
And if it, in the sound bites from Raymond, remember he just was oblivious to such things.
He was.
And
but the last sound bite, he did communicate back.
Yeah, he did.
In the role play.
Yeah, that's right. But you know, the ability to feed back what somebody gives you gives a sense of you're verifying what they said. And that is one of the most powerful things in communication. In my own life, that's one of the things I've experienced.
So you're saying to the other person, this is important for me to get what you're telling me.
Right.
So I'm going to explain it back to you. Did I get it right?
Right, exactly. And I'll tell you, in my own personal experience, especially raising teenagers, now my kids are all grown up now, but my son, he was particularly difficult. And he would get frustrated with life to no end. And there were times when I would literally spend hours with him trying to figure out what it was that was frustrating him. And he'd tell me in his frustration, and this is, you know, 15, 16-year-old, and I mean, and you know I'm passionate.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he inherited that, okay? and he'd be just frustrated, and he'd be, and I'd say, okay, so Tim, wait, what you're saying is, let me see if I got this right. And I'd repeat back. He'd say, no! I'd say, okay, then tell me again. And we would do this until at some point I would get it right, and the whole atmosphere would change.
Wow.
Because he saw the effort, and he finally felt understood, and then we could go someplace.
That's cool.
And it's hard.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of work, a lot of patience. Let's go to a soundbite. Folks, if you have a thought on communication, it is 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
All right, let's go to this soundbite. This is John DeMartini. He is another communications person, and he's talking about people's values. And in terms of people's values, he's giving some very, very, I think, profound insights into how to understand people.
You say that one of the keys to living a fulfilling life is to understand not only your own values, but the values of others. Can you explain that?
Absolutely. Everybody lives by a set of priorities, a set of values in their life. And whenever they're living by their highest priorities, the highest values, they have more fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they communicate to other people in their highest values, there's greater communication. And sometimes we tend to project ourselves down on people and talk down to and project our expectations onto them, and we have these alternating monologues instead of communicating what's important to us in terms of what's important to them.
I love the phrase alternating monologues. You know, when you do a monologue, I mean, if I were to tell you to be quiet for 10 minutes and just talk, that's a monologue.
I'm used to that.
Wait a minute. What a wise guy. And now let me refocus here. So what he's saying is, if you're not communicating with people's real true values, you're talking sort of at them, and they're responding at you.
But you're missing the mark,
right?
Both ways.
So you're like two ships passing in the night. You don't even know each other's there. You know, and it's not working. So you have two alternating monologues instead of real true communication. So finding somebody's true values is something that is very, very important. Let's go to one more of these one another scriptures, and then we'll go to the phones. And this is under the heading of be kindly affectioned to one another. And I think this really hits on not getting into that trap of alternating monologues.
Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality.
So there's a lot here in terms of being kindly affectioned one to another. And really, Jonathan, you're not going to be kindly affectioned to somebody unless you really understand them.
You're right.
The deeper your understanding, the more of that kindly affectioned behavior will come out of you, because now you have an appreciation for what's important
mm-hmm.
to them.
Absolutely.
Let's go to the phones.
All right. Well, we have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Great topic and timely. And, the callers you had, the telephone callers, I was thinking, wow, you got some bright people making calls to you.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Rick and Jonathan's intellectual club.
That one, I don't know about that.
I hope I'm part of it. Yeah, number one, I would say the number one issue with a broken marriage, lack of communication.
Okay.
So key in holding a good relationship has to have good communication. I liked the spirit of which you mentioned a little while ago. Somebody mentioned no condescending. You know, you speak as you know your viewpoint is better than the other person. The tone of voice. I have that problem. You know, I mean well. I want to share. I like the word share you use. That's a great word. But the tone of voice, I think, is key. Here's one. Do not put a period where God puts a comma. Because God is still speaking.
There you go.
I appreciate that. Whoever thought of that, it's a great saying. And lastly, I want to contribute a little bit to the humor. I might have shared this with you a long time ago. I don't remember. Defining the word tact, that's T-A-C-T.
Right. Okay.
Tact is the is the ability to tell someone where to go so nicely that they actually look forward to the trip. God bless.
Thank you, Julia.
And you know, there's something to be said for that. Several things that Julia said. First of all, the number one issue in marriage is communication. And he's right.
Yes.
You know, if we're not communicating well, you can't have that kindly, affectioned attitude toward one another because you're not understanding the other. And then you're coming at them from a standpoint of resentment rather than appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how closely related resentment and appreciation are.
Wow.
You can easily fall into resentment when we should be appreciating. So, Julius, thanks so much for the call and the several points there. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
Jonathan, the next subheading, the next bullet point under the one another scriptures is to bear one another's burdens. We're going to have to just read a part of this. So let's just read Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3.
Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself.
So there's obviously more to the scriptures than that, but what it's saying is we have to be willing to help each other carry the weight.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you don't have that sense of wanting to appreciate, you're not going to want to carry their weight. I mean, instead of sort of like picking up on the weight, you know, you might be sort of pulling down on the weight if you've got that angst towards them.
And this shows a lot of humility that we need to have.
And humility is probably one of the number one keys of all communication. If we can communicate with humility, if we start out from the basis of humility, then our communication comes out so much, so much, so much better. Let's go back to John DeMartini, and I've neglected to mention this was from a program from Australia. You could tell by the accent of the moderator there. The program is called The Circle. It's a television program in Australia. Dr. John DeMartini is talking about values, and in the first soundbite we listened to, he was talking about alternating monologues when you don't key in on somebody else's values, and so now he expands more on what values are.
So let's talk about values then. I think it's very broad, but aren't we all sort of on the same page with values? We want happiness, we want shelter, and we want love.
Well, those are all, I think, true, but each person has a unique set of values. They're fingerprint specific. And whatever's really most important, because some people are really dedicated to their education, some are dedicated to their spiritual quest, mm-hmm. some are into business, some are into wealth, mm-hmm. some are fitness. But whatever is highest on their value is their identity. They revolve their life around it. Mm. And honoring that and caring about that is the secret of a great communication and a great relationship.
So again, it's so important to key in on what's important to somebody else. And if you key in on what's important to them, then you can really communicate with
them. You're giving them value.
Right.
When you do that.
Right. You're recognizing the import of their life.
Yes.
And that just goes as far as you can possibly imagine in terms of being able to communicate with someone. And that's why in Hebrews, and we touched on this in the first hour, but again, Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, another bullet point under the one another scriptures, consider and positively provoke one another.
To love and good works.
Right.
Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
So when we appreciate the values of someone else, and we're going to develop that even a little further in the next segment, we're able to positively provoke them. Because you think about it, if you don't know what somebody stands for, what's really important to them, and you're trying to provoke them positively, how easily is it to determine from their standpoint that the provoking you're giving them is just poking?
Ooh, good point.
You know, you can you take a few letters out of the word provoke and you end up with poke, okay?
All right.
So we don't want to poke. We want to provoke in a positive sense, and you do that by knowing what's important to that person. How do you know what's important to that person? Well, you know what? You can observe, but the best way to do it is to ask.
I like that.
And then when you ask, then you talk about it, because sometimes people will come out with maybe what they think you want them to say.
Okay.
And as you look, and actually in the next segment, we're going to get into some more on really figuring out people's values. But you want to really know what's important to them, and that way you can really get somewhere with them. So, Jonathan, this communication thing, there's so much to it, and we are really only, unfortunately, 2 hours. We're only going to be able to scratch the surface here, but boy, what a worthwhile subject.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, communicate much. Are words the most important part or least important part of communication? You'd be surprised. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, communicate much? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
So what about the power of words? You alluded to the power of words at the end of the last segment.
That's right.
What about the power of words? Well, I have some statistics for you, Jonathan.
All right. I love numbers. Okay, let's go.
Communication is 55% body language, 38% tonality, and 7% words.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. You know where I got that information?
No, where?
I don't know. Actually, I had it written on a sticky note that I kept by my phone in my office for years and years and years and years. I read it in a book somewhere. I wrote it down because it impressed me, and I never wrote down the source, and to this day I cannot remember. But I know that I read it.
Okay.
All right? So
words are only 7%
yes.
of value, but communication 55, body language 38%?
Yeah, 55% body language and tonality 38%. So
wow.
Now look, for a lot of men you can say, see, I don't have to talk to get my point across.
Hey, there you go.
But that's not what this is saying.
Oh, darn.
Yeah, I know. Just because words are only 7% of our communication doesn't mean that they carry only 7% of the weight of communicating. Because you think about it, a significant portion of our body language, of that 55%, and all of our tonality, that 38%, are built around the words we're speaking.
Mm.
So the words play this incredibly important part. It's what is behind them that gets the point across.
So you need to back up those words
exactly.
with the body language, the tonality.
Right, and you look, we're speaking, we're on the radio right now.
Right.
So who sees your body language?
Nobody.
But let me ask you just a pointy question. Do I use body language when I talk?
Oh, yeah? You do have a little Italian in you.
And you know, I mean, I can't sit still doing this. And for me, that's how the words come to life, if you will. That's how they find their meaning is the body language behind them. And you can't see the body language, which, folks, sometimes you can hear. Body language.
That's a good point.
And I think that's important. In the first hour, Jonathan, we were listening to one soundbite actually from Kathy McAfee, who is a communications expert, and she was talking about body language and vocal power tips.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, remember, there are five dials on your vocal dashboard, and we listened to the first two,
right,
which were tone and tempo. So let's listen to what she says is the third dial on your vocal dashboard.
So you have tone, you have tempo, you have timbre, which is the quality of your voice.
Timbre.
So that is,
timbre,
do you speak clear as a bell? When you say the word important, do you hear the T or not?
What about the mumblers?
The mumblers, yeah, they're at a whole different level.
Okay, I'm sorry, because some of my people come in and I go, what?
Right, so...
Is that a timbre issue?
I think in some cases there's a timbre. But you also can have more what I call texture to the voice. You can have the radio voice. You can have when you have a cold.
Yes.
You can have just a little more of a texture. And sometimes in certain situations, that texture could work for you. But sometimes you want to be as clear as a bell. So that is your timbre knob on your vocal dashboard.
So when you think about it, you know, that the texture or the quality of your voice. Now, let's be honest here. Like it or not, I don't have much of a radio voice, but you do.
I've been told that.
You do. Your voice has that strength and that power to it. And me, I'm just... But nevertheless, sometimes you can overcome those things if you've got a message that's worthwhile. And, you know, we're speaking about the scriptures. And
absolutely.
There's a message that is worthwhile. But the quality of your voice ends up being a part of this whole communication process.
Doesn't that kind of show your sincerity?
I think it
quality?
Does. Quality? Because if you're just... repeating information in trying to communicate, there's a big difference between repeating information and imparting
information. Oh, I like that. I like that.
When you're repeating it, you just, you know, okay, I'm going to read you some statistics about communicating that are very important. 55% of communication is body language, 38% of communication is tonality, and 7% of communication is actual words. You don't get the point.
Right.
But it's, hey, 55%. You do get the point.
Oh, you do.
Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
Don't forget to check out the website. Go to CQ Rewind. Sign up for the full edition. It is available there. It is a free service. It is a great service to have because it gives you what we talked about in writing with graphics and illustrations and puts it all together. Again, CQ Rewind, the full edition. Sign up now. Free service. No obligation.
Rick, I had a personal experience about communicating this past week, and I realized when this subject came up, I probably really blew my communication. I don't think I thought it through. But maybe I can get some feedback on Facebook how you thought I should have done it, but I'll go ahead and show you how I did it.
Here's your chance to critique Jonathan. Okay.
Well, I'm on the phone with a company. You know, I had free time finally to fix a problem in the house with a utility company. And all of a sudden my cell phone rings, so I pick up the other phone, and I have one on one ear, one on the other. And my wife calls up and said, the neighbor just called me, and she's very upset and concerned that these three boys out in front of her house, and they're sitting in her yard, and her husband's not home, and she has a little girl, and she's scared. Can you do something about it? So I said, okay. And I hung up the one phone. I still have the other one on my ear because I'm on hold, and okay. I don't want to miss this call.
So your mind is sort of focused on that.
Exactly.
But
so
now you got another task to accomplish.
Exactly. So I open the door, walk out, and I look at him set, basically say, boys, please move on. And that's all I said.
And that's it.
Now I don't think they liked what I said and how I said it, and they stood in front in the road, in front of the house, looking at me and putting their phone up to their ears. And this lasted for about 10 minutes, and then they finally moved on. But I'm like, I probably didn't handle that very well.
Yeah, you know, that doesn't even sound like you.
No. I was getting the task done, but I was so focused on the phone call that I don't know, present it well.
All right, so folks, here's your opportunity. Tell Jonathan what he could have done differently.
Go to Facebook at ChristianQuestions.net. Help me out here.
Poor guy needs help. Let's go back. That's a good experience and a good observation, just, you know, in terms of looking back. It's a good lesson, too. Let's look back on what we've done, what we've said, or what we didn't say, and say, hey, okay, what can I learn from that to take to my next experience?
Good point.
With our words, when we're talking about words, this segment, with our words, there are many parts. Why and how are they spoken? What is spoken? When, where, and to whom are they spoken? James chapter 3, verses 2 to 12 is a great set of scriptures that talks about the power of words.
For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man.
See, there you go.
Shoo! Able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth, so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things.
So right there in that part of the scripture, and it really comes back to the 55% body language, 38% tonality, and 7% words. It says the tongue is a small part, but it boasts great things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has got great power. So just the words, even though they're only 7% of your communication, doesn't mean that 7% is minimized.
No, it's important.
Because the words, Jonathan, you know, words can destroy and they can heal.
Good point.
And we have the choice as to which way we express ourselves. So as we continue in James chapter 3, the tongue is small but potent, and it can be potent for good, or potent for ill. Let's continue.
So how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire? And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by Gehenna. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison.
Boy, that sounds terrible. It's like, you know, it gives a whole new meaning of bite your tongue. Because it says a restless evil full of deadly poison. I mean, come on.
So the guys are saying, yeah, why should I speak?
Yeah. Right? But again, what we need to do is understand that the tongue is a tool of communication. And it's so easy for that tool to fall prey to emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than to be used as a tool for positive construction.
Building up, encouraging.
Right, right, right. And you can choose which way you go with it. So it's such a small thing. And words are such little things, but boy, can they mean everything. And then James goes on and explains the differences.
With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be.
And that reminds me of the comment, the call from the first hour. You know, with our tongue, we bless God, but we curse men. We shouldn't be doing that. What we should be doing is seeking to understand them and show them an example of Christ's likeness in our communication with them and not degrading who and what they are. Look, a lot of people just plain old live in sin.
That's right.
They just do.
We're all sinners.
Right. And for some of us, though, one of the differences, legitimately, is that some of us are really trying to rise above the sin, mm-hmm. and others are just basking in the glory of the sin.
Good point.
So if you are one of those who's really trying to rise above the sin, and you're dealing with one who's basking in the glory of the sin, do you talk down to them? Do you say, do you write them off?
Well, we see the mistake in Jesus' day where the scribes and Pharisees were trying to talk above the people.
Well, and they did that
to
Jesus.
Better. Yeah, exactly.
And Jesus, what did he do throughout his entire ministry with them?
He kept trying to teach them.
He kept trying to teach them. And at one point, at the very end, he finally told them, essentially, he told them off, as he should have. As Lord, he had every right to do that. But we ought not to be blessing God and cursing men. I mean, James is telling us that. Continue the verse.
Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh.
So our life will often reveal its contradictions in the words that we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very telling.
It is.
Words are very telling, no pun intended there, in terms of showing what's really inside of our hearts. Jonathan, let's go back to another soundbite. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And we continue the conversation online. We want to hear your feedback on today's topic by posting on our Facebook page, where you can also see our exclusive videos, check out our blog and our website for audio, video, CQ Rewind, and other free resources. Only at ChristianQuestions.net.
Such a great place to go, ChristianQuestions.net. And you know what? We're working on overhauling the website.
Yes.
Oh, you should see. I'm not even going to talk about it yet, but it is I'm not going to talk about it. Let's go back to Kathy McAfee and those five dials on your
dashboard.
On your vocal dashboard. We've gone through tone, tempo, and timbre. Now we're going to go to the last two.
And then the last one is volume. So there's times I'm going to want to raise my voice. And times I want to lower my voice. And then my very favorite button, Steve. You ready? On the
Go
vocal
ahead,
dashboard,
your favorite button.
The mute button.
Are you telling me to shut up?
No, I'm telling you to know that sometimes silence is very powerful, and you know that.
And so the volume of your voice, mm-hmm. are you speaking very softly to make a point? Or are you speaking very loudly to make a point? It portrays something.
Or are you monotone?
Yeah.
Where it won't be received.
Right. And then the mute button. that can make a point as well.
Yes.
And so we need to know that the mute button is appropriate. Not so much for radio, but but in other areas of life. Jonathan, let's go back to another one of those one another scriptures that we've been focusing on throughout the program. Teach and admonish one another. Colossians 3:16.
Let the word of Christ dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God.
This is how the Bible tells us to communicate with each other. Teach and admonish with psalms and hymns and spiritual. I mean, inspire. That's what this is saying.
This is great.
Hebrews 3:13.
But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin.
So encourage one another. So you've got the admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and encouraging. So we should be actively engaged in communicating with those of the brotherhood, specifically in these verses, mm-hmm. to build them up, to help give them strength, to give them inspiration, because you know what? The world stinks. It just does.
Well, thank you for that.
Well, but and in order to deal with it and to conquer it, we need to be able to really focus, and we need the help of our brotherhood, if you will, to focus as well.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, communicate much. How do I become a better communicator right now? The formula for success, that's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick, and our subject this morning, communicate much. To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now on our website, christianquestions.net.
And Jonathan, during the break, we were talking about a personal experience of yours, which we'll get to in a minute. But it reminded me of an experience of my own very quickly. You know, we're talking about the mute button.
Yes.
And with one of my daughters, she was having some issues as a teenager. And I went in to talk to her about it and, you know, trying to communicate. And I noticed she wanted to talk, but she just wasn't ready. And so I was thinking about it, thinking, okay, I've got a choice as to how to deal with this. Do I try to just sort of provoke it out of her? And I decided to just wait quietly. And I told her that. I said, look, you know, when you're ready, I'll just wait. And I just kept quiet. And
put the mute button on.
And I sat there for about a half an hour. And neither of us said a word for about a half an hour. And then she started to talk. And years later, she talked to me about that, about how much it meant to her that I would just sit there and wait for her to get ready.
Wow.
And the mute button, you know, and I was thinking of it, you know, these things really do work. And that's what communication is, getting to what's important with someone else and helping them find their way, so to speak. So there's so much to it. So ways to become a better communicator right now. The first point we have here, Jonathan, is to be observant in your communication. And there's a great scripture, Galatians 2:9, on this.
When James, Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision.
So James, Peter, and John, three of the great apostles, see the Apostle Paul, with whom there were difficulties.
Oh, big time.
But they saw that God was with him.
They saw the Spirit within him.
And they just overcame all the difficulties and said, brother, we're in this work together. You do that part, I'll do this part, let's go.
Good.
There's great observance on their part. I mean, it was a wonderful experience. Just quickly, go over your personal experience, because I think it's profound.
All right. Well, my mother-in-law passed away a couple weeks ago, and my wife, Jewel, and I kind of got together with the family based on mom's wishes to impart with them things and about her. And, you know, we discussed what we wanted to do. I offered the blessing on the meal and shared things that brought out different features of mom's heritage and her life and love for the Lord. And then Jewel wanted to offer a toast on mom's behalf. to share with them the most important features of who she was and what she wanted to impart to each of them.
And how did you all know this?
Well, Mom wrote everything down. She was so organized.
So she communicated things before she passed away so that they would be fulfilled.
Exactly. And so we hope, after dwelling on after that evening, we hope that we imparted the things Mom wanted us to, and we hope it made a difference in all of these people's lives for their future.
So the importance of communicating that point was so magnified because she had passed away.
Absolutely.
And this was like one of those final wishes.
Exactly.
And you want to communicate it. You don't want to just say it.
Because it's important.
Right. And it was such a powerful thing to be observant in those and to make that effort. And our heart goes out to you and your wife, especially.
Thank you.
Especially
Thank
your wife, you know,
yes.
The loss of her mom after she lived with you guys for all those
12
years.
12 years, yeah.
Man, oh man. Man. Next point on this communication, Jonathan, how do I become a better communicator right now? Know yourself and know your audience in your communication. Now, the Apostle Paul is carefully dealing with the Hebrew Christians in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 24 to 26.
God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it.
So it's talking about the body of Christ and knowing that some are different than others.
Yes.
And some who may have the greatest talents are not necessarily of the greatest importance.
That's right.
And so those who have the greatest, most outward talents and abilities are responsible to focus
honor the inferior or others.
Right. Those who may not have as much outwardly to give but are of just as much importance.
That's right.
Know yourself and know your audience. Jonathan, let's go to the phones.
All right. Well, we have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, guys.
To you, too.
Thank you.
Oh, and Jonathan, when I want to scare people off my front lawn, I just go out and teach them some scripture. We have 1 Corinthians 13, 1. If I speak in human and angelic tongues but do not have love, I'm a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. Christian communication is marked by a difference of attitude. The Christian studies and learns technique, but the difference is love. Not human love, but spirit. Not romantic, but divine. Ephesians 4:29. No foul language shall come out of your mouths, but only such that is may impart grace to those who hear. The Christian remembers that he is the child of God, speaking to a child of God. This knowledge, this reality, transforms every moment. Exodus 33:11. The Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as one man speaks to another.
Randall, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
God bless you guys.
Take care.
And I like the Ephesians 4:29 scripture, no foul word shall come out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. And because our communication is supposed to be based on Christ likeness.
Yes.
So if we do that and we focus on that, then the words that are going to come out of our mouths are all going to be have a strong positiveness, a strong spirituality to them. And I really liked what he said. A little advice for you there.
Oh, I love it. I should have just
gone out there with your Bible.
With my Bible. Except my phone would have disconnected on my way out.
good thoughts, Randall. Thanks so much, Jonathan. Let's go back to John DeMartini. Remember, he was on this program called The Circle down in Australia, talking about values and how important it is to understand the values of somebody else. And he gives some very, very good advice as to how to perceive what other people's values are. So, Fred, why don't we go to next soundbite on this?
Well, your life demonstrates their values. They're literally living it. Yeah. And so if we look at how they fill their space, things that are not important to them, they want in the trash, they want away from them. But things that are really important to them, they keep around them. Look at how they spend their time. Because they always make time for things that are truly important to them. Mm-hmm. How they spend their energy and what energizes them. When you're in a doing what you love to do, you're energized. You have more energy at the end of the day than when you start. And how do you spend your money? This has a lot to do with what your values are, because you will invest money into things that are important to you.
So he gives a very important understanding techniques for really getting somebody's values in line. If you want to communicate with somebody, find out what their values are. How do you do that? Well, what's truly important to them? What energizes them? What gets them excited? And, you know, look, for a lot of people, I happen to love baseball. Mm-hmm. Okay, now baseball is not the most important thing to me, but I love baseball as a pastime. I love the Yankees. Sorry, I have to say it, but I do, you know, and I enjoy that part of life. Now, for some people, their sports fanaticism is the most important thing.
You're right. I've seen that around.
Yeah, and you can tell by what they wear, where they go, what they do,
yeah.
and all of those things. What energizes you? How do you spend your money? What is your money spent on? What are the big things that you sort of bring into your life that reflects the values in your life?
But I love what energizes the brotherhood, the plan of God, the sacrifice of Jesus and all he gave on our behalf. That energizes, that stimulates that spiritual mentality.
And if you can see that and you see that reflected in somebody, you know that's something very, very important to them, that's how you can communicate with them. You find what's important, and you work with that. And it's such a great way to develop the ability to communicate with others. Folks, if you have a thought, now would be the time, 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And go to ChristianQuestions.net, sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition, because there's many graphics and illustrations, and we just don't have time to cover everything that we have here to present on communication, and it's well worth it. Again, ChristianQuestions.net.
Yeah, and the bonus material always adds more than, like you said,
absolutely,
than we're able to cover. Okay, so the points to become a better communicator right now. We talked about be observant in your communication, know yourself and know your audience in your communication. What's the next point?
Be prayerful in your communication.
Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5.
I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now.
You think about the way the Apostle Paul wrote that. I thank my God every time I remember you. So you think about that and what that does in his communication to them.
What a bond that creates.
And what a sense of understanding the values of those Philippians, those who lived in Philippi, that the Apostle Paul had. He understood
yes.
them. So every time they came into his mind, he'd sort of stop and pray for them. And think about how they would have felt hearing those words from him.
Wow.
Wow, we are important to him. Why? Because he prays for us every time. He thinks of us. What better thing could there be than that?
Exactly.
So there is a sense of being prayerful in communication and how powerful that is. What's the next point?
Be wise in your communication.
Okay, now Paul, the Apostle Paul in the book of Philemon, is carefully dealing with an issue of a runaway slave. Philemon is the individual who is a slave owner, if you will.
When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother.
So now, this is, and I wish we had time to really explain this whole context of Philemon and his runaway slave Onesimus. Well, Onesimus ran away and ran to the Apostle Paul.
Right.
It's like, and the Apostle is writing to Philemon and basically saying, look, I'm going to be sending Onesimus back, and I want you to greet him as a brother. But he prefaces all of that with his respect for Philemon.
And all the work he does for the Lord.
Right. And he's being incredibly wise in his communication to him. And he's saying, I know, I have great confidence in who you are as a brother in Christ. And yes, he is your indentured servant, and he should remain that way by rights. That's the way it is. But I'm imploring you by what I know of you to just take those things that I know you already know and apply them.
And welcome him back.
And it's such a great, one of these days we're going to have to do a whole program on that
yes.
book because it's so good. We're going to go to the next point, Jonathan. We're talking about how do we become a better communicator right now, be observant, know yourself and know your audience, be prayerful, be wise.
Be humble.
Be humble. And I think we talked about that a little bit in the first hour, but humility always comes back to be a centerpiece of every conversation I think we ever have here.
Absolutely.
Hebrews 13:15-17.
But him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with which such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.
So the scripture is really giving us a sense that let us offer sacrifice to of praise to God continually. See, if you are continually offering the sacrifice of praise to God, you have no time to be praising yourself.
That's right.
And that keeps you humble so that we can be better communicators in everything else that we do. Because if we're going at it from a humility standpoint, everything else falls into place.
Absolutely. And this is our theme text.
But so there you have it.
To communicate.
And to communicate means to be contributory to others' lives, financially and otherwise. Do good and to communicate. Don't forget to show others by what you do that you love them. It's not just what you say.
Nice.
It's what you do. And Jonathan, just in closing, we won't read the scripture, but in 1 Corinthians 9:20-22, it really is about communicating with all your heart, because the Apostle Paul is saying, to those who are poor, I'm poor. To those who are weak, I'm as one who is weak. To those who are strong, I'm as one who is strong. So I can communicate with each of them and bring them closer to Christ. And isn't that what this is all about? Finding what's important in someone else's life, focusing on it, showing them that you realize it's important, and helping them be inspired to grow in Christ. Folks, we hope you've enjoyed being with us this morning. We certainly have enjoyed talking with you and communicating some of the biblical principles on how we deal with one another. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back again next week. But till then, check out Facebook. You can email us at rick@christianquestions.net. Let us know what you think. We'll be back again next week with another subject. But till then, communicate much. Think about it.